Find a Bible and open to Matthew chapter 6. It's going to be important that you have a Bible in front of you this morning. The sermon's not going to make much sense unless you are looking with me at the text. If you're new with us in the last couple months, my name is Matt, and I am, in fact, one of the pastors here as well. I've been out of the pulpit since May, so we could allow some other speakers some time, and also so that I could focus on a few other types of ministry, and I was grateful for that time off, but I'm way more grateful to be back, and I'm excited to share with you this morning. So this week and next, we're wrapping up our summer series, Praying the Bible, looking at how the Bible models and commands for us to pray to our Creator and Savior, the Lord God, the Triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This morning, we're going to be looking at Jesus' explicit teaching about prayer from Matthew chapter 6. I suppose you could say we probably should have started this series with what Jesus had to say about prayer, right? But we left that to the end so that the note ringing in your ear at the end of the series is the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's read the passage this morning, and we're going to see that Jesus is going to make us aware of two ditches, two very common problems or common errors that we humans tend to make in prayer. So, read with me, Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. Whenever you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, because they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by people. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your private room, shut your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you pray, don't babble like the Gentiles, since they imagine they'll be heard for their many words. Don't be like them, because your Father knows the things you need before you ask them. It's the words of our Lord. So two ditches, two common problems here in these three verses. And the first ditch is hypocrisy. Don't pray to put on a show. Jesus says you must not be like the hypocrites because they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by people. The word hypocrite here, it means something in our culture. The word hypocrite in our culture means kind of two-faced. It means you say one thing and you do another. And that's a pretty good translation of the word here. The word hypocrite in the Greek is the word hypocrite. We just stole it directly from the Greek. And it was used for actors. It was used of stage actors. So the idea is that what he's warning against is putting on a show of acting in your prayers, acting like somebody who's coming up on stage and performing Hamlet, something like that. This is a warning against acting spiritual and not being real when you pray. Pretending to be something that you are not. That's what Jesus is warning against. Pretending to be something that you are not. And here's the thing. I think we can easily recognize this in other people. It's actually really easy to see. Do you know what I mean when I say that people have their prayer voice? Have you ever been in a group prayer situation and somebody starts praying and they're talking differently than they normally talk? The tone of their voice is different. The cadence of their voice is different. They use different vocabulary. Now, there can be a couple reasons for this. I think one reason may be that prayer is a solemn and maybe kind of a strange thing, and praying out loud in public can be a little awkward because you're sort of bearing your soul, and we humans don't like bearing our souls to each other, so we put on a little bit of a front, a little bit of a shield, a little bit of a mask, maybe like an actor would. Maybe the things we're praying are real, but we're just a little guarded. But sometimes I think, and I've seen this too, and I've been guilty of it myself, we can pray in certain ways so that other people think we are more spiritual than we really are. We try to make our language more lofty, more flowery, to show that we know what we're doing and that we're really good at this praying thing. And that's the danger Jesus is warning against. And I think that's why Jesus says, go to your closet or private room and shut the door. So is this saying that every time you pray, you have to go do it in a secret place? No, I don't think so. I think what he's saying is if you never do that, there's a problem. This is not a command against praying in public. This is a command against ensuring, or a command ensuring that you aren't only ever praying in public to put on a show. If the only time you're praying is to look good in front of people, to show, oh yeah, I am a Christian, I do this praying thing, I do have this relationship with God. If that's the only time you ever pray is when there's others watching, you're a hypocrite. You're an actor. This first ditch, this warning against hypocrisy, I think, is directed against us religious people. We who want to be seen as spiritually mature, maybe more mature than we really are. And I think it's possible and it's necessary, really. I mean, the rest of the Bible also models praying in public, praying in groups. There's all kinds of, the early church would have been violating Jesus' commands if he was saying, only ever pray in a closet. We see the early church gathering to pray often, especially in Acts. It is possible to pray in public without putting on a show. The question is all about motive. Are you praying the way you are praying to try and impress people? Or are you praying because you know you need your Heavenly Father? The tricky thing about being human is that sometimes our motives are mixed, aren't they? So this first ditch, this first warning is about praying to impress people. The second ditch we see is praying in a way that's trying to impress God. Verse 7. Don't babble like the Gentiles, since they imagine they'll be heard for their many words. Ditch number one is hypocrisy. Ditch number two is trying to spam God. And the first warning, while it's aimed at us religious people, the second warning is aimed at maybe superstitious people or spiritual but not religious people. They believe, sometimes we believe, that they can get God's attention by the way they pray. The first error is about trying to show off to people that you are very spiritual. The second error is about trying to get God's attention by the way that you pray, through constant repetition, maybe through all the effort and all the energy and all the exertion you're putting into your prayers. See how serious I am, God. You have to listen to me, because I'm so serious about it. And if I pray the same prayer over maybe 15 times, maybe that'll make up for the wrong thing that I did. Or maybe if I keep praying the same thing over and over and over like a mantra, eventually it'll come true. Something like that. So here's an illustration. A couple weeks ago, I learned about a new kind of scam. How many of you got this text message like last week or the week before? It's the USPS, it's purporting to be the Postal Service, trying to deliver a package to you, and something was wrong, and you need to go online to fill out a form. Actually, raise your hand if you got that text like 2 weeks ago. Look at that, like half of us got that text. Raise your hand if you replied. No, don't do that. So apparently this new scam, it's called smishing. I just wanted to share that with you. It's called smishing, SMS phishing. It's a text message that you receive that's trying to get you to click on a link. And it will ask you for, what's going to happen next is it's going to ask you for sensitive personal details, and they're going to use that to try to steal your identity. That's the scam. Don't fall for it. And the reason so many of us got this message was because billions of those messages were sent all over to all kinds of combinations of phone numbers in the hopes that just through sheer quantity, some of you would receive it, which about half of you did, and some of you would click on the link. And some of you would click on the link and fill out the form. Because, I mean, the USPS, the Postal Service losing something is not that uncommon, is it? Right? It's like it's only one in every 600 letters that gets lost. that's less than 1%. The problem is that this works. And that's why they do it. So that's where the analogy breaks down. That's where the illustration breaks down. But it is what Jesus is warning against in his prayers. He's warning against thinking that it takes great quantity or maybe even great quality of words or great effort to get God to hear you. He's warning against thinking that regardless of your relationship to him, if you just pray hard enough, if you just pray long enough, if you just pray the right combination of words, surely someone out there is going to hear you. He's warning against thinking that you can move God to action by your effort. This calls to mind a scene from the Old Testament in 1 Kings 18. Some of you are familiar with the story of Elijah and the prophets of Baal. There was kind of a, I'll set it up. There was kind of a contest to get to see whose God was the real God. Was it Yahweh, the Most High, creator God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Elijah, and us? Or was it the false pagan god, Baal? The prophets of Baal, in the story, they set up their altar and they dance and they sing and they pray and they scream at the sky and they slash themselves all morning and all afternoon to try to get God's attention. One of my favorite parts about that story is Elijah stands there taunting them, right? Maybe he's in the bathroom. Just keep going. They cut themselves with knives, they beat themselves up, they danced around, they screamed at the sky, and no God answered them. Thousands of words from hundreds of worshipers all at the same time with no effect. Then Elijah's turn came, and he got all the people together, and he set up his altar, 12 stones. He arranged the wood, he put down the sacrificial offering commanded by the law of God. He had them douse it with water 3 times so that water was overflowing. There was a pool of water around the sacrifice because he was about to see if the Lord would set this thing on fire. And so I'm just make sure that you all know that it's not some trick. We're going to douse it with water 3 times. And then he waited. And this is an important little detail in the story. He set this altar up and then he went and I don't know what he did during the time. It doesn't say, but it says, when the time for the evening sacrifice came, so there's a period of time, he set up the altar, and then he goes away for a little bit. Now it's time for the sacrifice, and we're going to read 1 Kings 18 to see what happened. Verses 36. At the time for offering the evening sacrifice, the prophet Elijah approached the altar, and he said, Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, today let it be known that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that your word, and that at your word I have done all these things. Answer me, Lord. Answer me so that this people will know that you, the Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back. And what happened after that? Then the Lord's fire fell and consumed the burnt offering, the wood, the stones, and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell face down and said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. It wasn't Elijah's great effort. It wasn't his words. It was that God, the real one, the true God, the living God, the Most High God, it's that God knew Elijah. And Elijah knew him. And that God knew what needed to happen. Prayer does not work because of your many words or the amount of energy you put into it. Prayer works because God in heaven hears prayer. He hears the prayers of those who know him and are seeking him, and he knows what you need even before you ask. That's what Jesus is teaching you here. You don't need to impress God. Now, just like that first ditch is not about not praying in public, this ditch is not saying don't pray persistently. This is not saying don't be diligent and watchful and constant in your prayer. It's saying don't babble on and think that your effort is going to do the thing. Remember the parable of the persistent widow. I'm going to leave Matthew for just a second here. I'm going to Luke 18. Let me read this to you. Jesus told them a parable about the need for them to pray always and never give up. There was a judge in a certain town who didn't fear God or respect people. And a widow in that town kept coming to him, saying, "Give me justice against my adversary." For a while he was unwilling, but later he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or respect people, yet because this widow keeps pestering me, I will give her justice so that she doesn't wear me out by her persistent coming." It's a great story. Then the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. Will not God grant justice to his elect who cry out to him day and night? Will he delay in helping them? I tell you, he will swiftly grant them justice." This widow, she appealed to the judge, this unrighteous, ungodly judge who didn't care about people. She appealed to him morning and evening. She didn't come up to him, didn't give up coming to him repeatedly. Now, here's the thing. She came to him repeatedly, morning and evening. But she didn't stay in the courtroom nagging him over and over. "Please, please, please, come on, give it to me, give it to me, give it to me." She didn't stay in the courtroom nagging him incessantly. She kept showing up time after time at the right time when court was in session to make her appeal. Her simple appeal, her simple request, "Give me justice against my adversary." Notice that both in Elijah's case, three-sentence prayer. In the widow's case, one-sentence prayer. Notice that in both of their cases, the prayer is very simple. It's not complicated. It's not flowery language. Elijah's he's talking about bigger things, but he's not using super fancy flowery language to do it. They're just powerful words. And this is what Jesus is teaching us regarding praying: simplicity with persistence and diligence. How do we avoid the two ditches, the ditch of hypocrisy and the ditch of spamming God? Jesus shows us what it looks like in practice in the next several verses. Read with me Matthew chapter 6, 9 through 13. So he gives us instruction. Don't put on a show. Don't babble with many words. Verse 9, "Therefore, you should pray like this. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Listen to that. Comprehensive. There's an old church father who said, there's not one request you can make that doesn't fit in these six requests. It's concise. Everything you need can be found here. Six simple statements. Now, next week we're going to actually go through this mountain of a prayer and unpack it. But for now, what I want you to observe for the sake of the sermon today, observe its simplicity and its magnitude. Think for a second of the kind of faith it takes to pray these words honestly. Not like an actor. Not with mindless repetition. It's a scary thing to ask for some of these things if you're being serious about it. Think of the kind of faith it takes to pray this simply and then leave it in God's hands. "I've said enough. I don't have to keep asking. Right now, this is my request. Here it is, Lord. You've heard me and you know what I need." Simplicity. The kind of faith it takes to pray with this simplicity, trusting that he heard you, and no more needs to be said for now, and trusting that he already knows what you need even better than you do, so the reply is going to be good, whatever the reply is. Now, it is possible when you are praying, I find this sometimes, that we will have hundreds of these simple kinds of requests in a day. It might take an hour or three to get through all of your simple requests. The issue is repetition. The issue is putting on a show. Prayer for your daily bread might look like praying for 100 specific things you need that day. Prayer that we have, forgive me as I have forgiven, might require you to revisit in your heart a dozen different circumstances and actually do the forgiving. That's not mindless repetition of the same thing over and over and over. And by the way, it is possible to pray these words mindlessly with endless repetition. I grew up doing it. Jesus has one final word for us here. One final instruction in verse 14 and 15. After he gives us those mountainous words, he says, "For if you forgive others their offenses, your heavenly Father will forgive you as well. But if you don't forgive others, your Father will not forgive your offenses." So here's my question as I was thinking through this. Why is this the only one of the six requests that he revisits with more instruction? Why does he only expound on the forgiveness part of the prayer? Why doesn't he expound on the need to pray for daily bread and how that gets answered? Why doesn't he expound on praying that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Why does he only expound on the forgiveness part of the prayer? Well, I think it's because Jesus, he wants to remind us that the posture and motive of our prayer is so crucial. The posture and motive of our prayer is so crucial. Remembering the gospel, remembering the good news that when we are in Jesus, when we have faith in him and the work that he did on our behalf and that he is coming again, when we follow him, when we trust him with our life, that God has forgiven us all of our offenses, not because of anything we did, but because of what Jesus did. When we believe that, when we understand that, when we remember that, it changes everything. And it changes the way we pray. The gospel shapes the way we pray. Notice for a second, I want to do this. This is going to feel a little blasphemous, I hope. That's weird to say. Notice how the Lord's Prayer sounds without this admission that we need forgiveness. Let's just hear it. Without this desire to forgive those who have sinned against us, here's what the Lord's Prayer sounds like and looks like. "Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and don't bring us into temptation, but deliver us from evil." I mean, that's a fine prayer, right? This is a good thing to pray. But if that was the pattern for prayer, all you have here, the only thing you have here, is pain avoidance. Being on the right side of power. Let all of these other people see that I'm on the right side. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, I'm right. You should be right too. Y'all need Jesus. It's a high caliber prayer for selfish prosperity in this life without any thought for an afterlife. Without any care for people beyond them agreeing with your way of thinking. But with the gospel, it changes everything. It brings in a posture of humility, a need, an admission that you are in need of a rescuer, admission that you are in need of forgiveness, and that we have that forgiveness in Jesus, and that an admission that it is my obligation and my duty to follow my Savior by extending that mercy that I've received to other people. So to sum up, Jesus' instruction for us in prayer in Matthew chapter 6, it's just three things. Pray honestly. Use your real voice. Let those you are praying with hear your real voice. Take the mask off. Pray simply. You don't need to use a bunch of flowery language. You don't need to keep going on and on and around about the same thing. Pray humbly, remembering that you've received mercy and that we are to extend that same mercy to others. Give that some thought this week. How's your prayer life? Do you spend any time praying alone? Or do you only really pray when others are around to witness your spirituality? Do you have the faith to pray this simply, leaving your requests in God's hands, trusting that he's heard you? Remember the gospel. Remember this is beautiful. Remember what our brother Jerry taught us a few weeks ago from Psalm 34. The poor man and the righteous cried, and he's quoting Psalm 34, and the Lord heard him and saved him from all his troubles. What about Jesus? Jesus cried, and the Lord heard him and turned his face away. Why? Because Jesus was forsaken so that you and I will never be forsaken. We are the poor, and yet we are righteous because of Jesus. Remember that Jesus taught us how to pray. Remember that he taught us what to pray. And then Jesus went and he made a way to ensure that our simple and honest prayers would be heard when we pray in his name. So would you please pray with me now? Heavenly Father, it amazes me that the creator of the universe, the good, wise, loving creator of the universe, hears us when we pray to you. It's amazing. Why would you hear us? What is man that you would take notice? It says something about who you are and what we are to you. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would help us take you seriously. Take to heart your instructions. And simplicity, honesty, humility, and prayer help us, Lord, as a church. Help us as a church to heed your instruction. We're so grateful that you do hear us, not because of our great spirituality, not because of our fervor in prayer, not even, you don't even hear us because of our simplicity, honesty, and humility in prayer. You hear us because you promise to. You promise that you're paying attention to the prayers of your people. You promise to hear us for the sake of your son, Jesus. Jesus, you died and you rose again to perfect our imperfect praying and to make a way and to even know you in the first place, know who you are and what you're about and what you want. And so it's in Jesus' name that we commit our prayers to you, Father. We trust, help us to trust. We trust that you hear and that you care. And that you answer according to your will and in your timing. Help us to trust your will and your timing in our praying. In Jesus' name, amen.